Ephesians chapter 4. I want to just encourage us for a few minutes this morning that God has called you to greater things. Greater things. No matter where you are, no matter what you're connected to today, no matter where this day finds you in life or your walk with God, Paul says in Ephesians 4:1, he said, I urge you. King James says, I beseech you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. And this scripture is put right in this text. There's no breaking in the original, like 3 to 4 in the scripture that comes before it. So many people quote it for themselves. But the reality of it is, it's for you and I, but it's not just so you can consume more things to yourself. And I love the scripture verse, Ephesians 3:20. And reading out of the New International, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. The work that he has called you to, his hand that is upon you, is not just so you can personally succeed more at what you're doing in life, and not that he doesn't want you to succeed, but it's that God can equip you and you can call on him to do more things for his kingdom than you could ever imagine. And then he says, for the reason that there'll be glory in the church. And we can talk about how bad the church is and the people, you know, 80% or 20% of the people do 80% of the work, and this one's bad and that one's bad and everything. But the reality of it is, at the end of the day, Jesus died for the church. And he says that I want to do something immeasurably. I want to do something, King James says, exceeding and abundantly above what you can ask or think. And I want it to be displayed through my church, through the people. And the church is not the building. The church is the people of God. The Bible says it's the called out ones. It's the people that have been called and touched and anointed for a purpose and for a plan that far exceeds anything that you could even comprehend in your mind today. And some of you, I know, you're on this journey in your life, and maybe you haven't understood it fully. Maybe you're on this journey and you're just attached to the status quo, that you're just doing the minimums, or you're just, you know, you're just existing. And you don't want to do anything over and above, because if you do, it might rock your little world. But Jesus never called and never saved you and I just to live a normal status quo life. He doesn't cause you and call you just to stay afloat and hope that nothing gets out of place. He calls you to step out into territory that causes you and I to have faith in him. And for some of you, the Lord speaks to me in the night season many times. And he spoke this to me, that some of you, you're in a place of decision this year. In fact, some of you are in a place of decision within the next month. Some of you, you're faced with a challenge of whether or not you're going to keep a commitment that you stood before God and made. This is real right now. And for some of you, it's a decision that you're going to make. For some, you may make it and you may decide, okay, God, I'm going to go with you. Even though I don't feel it, even though I don't get it, I don't understand it, I'm going to go with you. And I'm going to tell you something. When you obey him, and when you do what this says, whether or not you feel like it or not, he'll bring blessing upon blessing upon blessing on your life. Some people say, well, I just want to do what I feel that I want to do, and I know God loves me. And of course he loves you. He loves the sinner. He loves you no matter what. But when you do what he has called you to do. In Philippians 4:9, Paul says, the things which you have learned and received and heard in me, when you practice these things, the God of peace, he'll be with you. Many people are saying, where is God? Why don't I feel peace? When we're out of step with what he has called and created us to do, we won't have peace. But I want to say to you, when you step into trusting him and having faith in him, even if it seems scary and intimidating at the time, he'll bring peace to you in the middle of a storm. Oh, hallelujah. And I'm saying all that to encourage you not to commit yourself to unhealthy lifestyle, unhealthy choices, things that would bring you down or tear you apart. And when you go through something negative, God's not getting back at you. God's not willing that any should perish. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, John 3:17, but that the world may be saved. God loves you. But you have to begin to sow the seeds into your life that will reap and grow the things that God has called you to, because He's called you to greater things. So there's some things that get in our way. Number one, it's the wrong view of ourselves. We sometimes think humility is thinking of ourselves less. Oh, I'm a worm. I'm no good. I'm this. Humility is not that. Humility is just thinking about yourself less. It's putting others first. It's not that I'm good or I'm bad. It's just that, God, You're first. Others are first. Psalm 18:35 says, You give me Your shield of victory and Your right hand sustains me. He says, You stoop down to make me great. Praise God for that. Some are dealing, you just deal with insecurity in your life all the time. You're just not convinced and not secure in who God has called you to be. Fear. You don't think that if God calls you to do something greater and bigger, you can't do that. It's just not who you are. It's not who you've been created to be. But contrary, you're not who you used to be. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are gone. And behold, He makes all things new. If you've been born again, you are not who you used to be. I don't care if it was yesterday, a month ago, a year ago, 10 years ago. You are now in the bloodline of the Master Jesus Himself. You have the blood of Christ inside of you, running through you. And no, nothing will be impossible to Him that believes. May feel inadequate. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, so commend themselves. They measure themselves by themselves. They compare themselves among themselves. And he says, it's not wise. Sure, you're inadequate. But if you measure you by you, you never have a standard to grow to. Measure you by what Christ has called you to. And then we live with this reluctance. We procrastinate. Any procrastinators in here? Come on, be honest with me. Is anybody procrastinating? Yeah. You know what? If you don't begin today, you'll be lifting up your hand a year from now and we'll be talking about the same thing. Come on, put the procrastination aside. Put it off and begin to do today what you know God has called you to do. Don't get caught up in New Year's resolutions. Get caught up in a God decision. New Year's resolutions, how many of you know they come and they go? And I'm all, hey, whatever engages you to do something, I'm all for it. Set a goal, but don't just wad it up and say, "Ooh, I'm not going to do that anymore." 1 Peter 2:9 says, "You're a chosen generation, you're a royal priesthood, holy nation, His own special people, that you, no one else, you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." It's not just about somebody else. It's about you. He's called you to greater things. We have a wrong view of people sometimes, because we either love them or we look at people and they just bug the knots out of us. I mean, you know, I'm a loving guy by nature. I really am. I love people. I better just go on that. That's not... Matthew 9:36 says, when He saw the crowds, He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And you never know what somebody's going through. You never know what people are going through. And they may be troubling you. Chris, can I tell your story about your neighbor that you told me about yesterday? Chris, he moves into this place, and I've been encouraging him. They move into a beautiful house, and they got these neighbors, and the neighbors... You're too loud, you're this. And Chris used to say, man, if I was the old Chris, I would have come walking up to that door, you know. And he said, no. And I said, you know what, have your wife take him some cookies and bless him. And they did. And people are looking at him a little strange. And then just the other day, he had some people at their house, and it was a little noisy. And he said, knock came at the door, and he says, I'm going to tell them. He went to the door. Hello, can I help you? And he's ready for bear. And they said, we just want to give you these cookies. Merry Christmas to you. Thank you very much, you know. Because we don't know what people are going through. And we allow sometimes a wrong view of people to keep us from doing what God has called us to do. Hello, come on today. We have a wrong view of God. We serve this wonderful and mighty God. And we have this view. We pray and ask Him for things. And we just have this skewed view of what He wants to do. And in Jeremiah 32:17, one of my favorite verses in the New International again. Oh, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth, and by your great power and outstretched arm, nothing is too hard for you. Listen, if you're here today and you're struggling in your life, can I tell you today that nothing is too hard for God? So God wants us to join together and believe Him to do greater things in us. John 14:12, Jesus said, I tell you the truth that anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing, and he'll do even greater things than these because I'm going to my Father. Well, what could we do? How can we connect with this? We have to have faith in God. Hebrews 11 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. I want to encourage you to go into 2014, leave 2013 and embrace 2014 having faith in God no matter where you are, no matter what's going on, what you're facing in life. Believe God for something greater. How? I'm going to give you, I'm closing on these three things. Number one, faith is birthed in the presence of God. Oh, it's birthed there. When we increase our awareness of God's presence, the commands that God gives us, they become more doable. When we're outside of that, we can't comprehend that. But the God with us, the Emmanuel, is the platform for all of our life. God's presence. Faith is birthed in the presence of God. Even God told Joshua in Joshua 1:9, He said, be strong, be of good courage. Don't be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God, He is with you wherever you are. No matter where you go, He is with you. And the truth that He gave to Joshua is simple, but it's profound. Our strength and our courage to do what God has called us to do flows directly from the awareness that God is with us. You may be here today and you may think, I don't think God is with me. Let me say this. If you've asked Him to come into your heart and into your life, no matter what decision that you've made, He keeps His word today. Oh, I'm thankful for that. Number two, faith goes beyond our inspiration to our participation. James says, you say you have faith without works. Hey, I'm going to show you my faith by my works. Paul again says to the Philippians in 1 verses 3 through 5, he said, I thank my God in all remembrance of you always, offering prayer with joy in every prayer for you in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. Get involved. Your faith will increase. You'll do greater things for the Lord when you participate, not just get inspired. If all you do is come to church once a week and just take something in and go away, you're missing one of the greatest plans that God has ever instituted in the world. Paul says that his heart is filled with joy because of the people's participation. The koinonia means participation, fellowship. And let me say, if two people are in a ship and on one side there's a leak, how many of you know we're all going down in that ship? God wants you to get involved. And three, faith continues regardless of what we see. Faith continues regardless of what you see. And I'm very cognizant of the fact today that some of you have been praying and asking God for things and you haven't seen what you've asked Him for. 2 Corinthians, I'm reading in the Living Bible, 4:18. We do not look at what we can see right now. Don't look what you can see right now. The troubles all around us, we look forward to the joys in heaven, which we have not yet seen. The troubles will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. Woo, praise God for that. That's the real stuff right there. I like the New King James. I was birthed on memorizing this. We don't look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, they are eternal. Oh, come on today. just close your eyes with me just a moment today. You've focused on what you see so much, you're forgetting what the eternal is all about. You've focused on the disappointment, on the loss of your dream, on the loss of your relationship, whatever it is. You focus so much on that, that it has so inhibited you from seeing anything greater, that it's just slowed you down. And God wants you to go, leave one year and go into a new one with some passion, with some hope, not giving up on what God has called or created you to be. Not giving up just because you haven't seen it. This could be your time. This could be your year. This could be your moment. This could be your season. And not to give up, because God, He has called you to greater things. Listen, you're still here. You're sucking air today. That means, whew, something great is about to happen in your life. Praise God. I thank Him for it. Father, come on, close your eyes and bow your head all over this house today. I give You praise because You have a purpose, You have a plan, and You have some greater things ahead for Your people. I praise You, Lord, for that. Your heads are bowed, Your eyes are closed. If you've never given your heart to Christ, that is something you can't go out of this year and into the next year without doing. I know people come from many backgrounds. It doesn't matter whether you're a business person or you're just here today. The bottom has fallen out of your life. God has a great plan. For whosoever will, the Bible says, let them come to Him. Ah, praise Your name, Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed today. Just the Lord is doing some great things. Young, middle-aged, older, prime time, whoever you are today, Jesus is calling out to you. If you've never given your heart to Him, wave at me right now and say, Pastor Marty, I want Him. Just pray for me. I'm not going to ask you for nothing. I just want to pray for you right where you're at. Wave your hand at me. Young, old, thank you. Children, thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you, sir. God's got a plan for you. Any children want to raise their hands and wave them so I can see them? Today is the day. What a great day to give your life to Christ today. Praise God for that. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are still closed. You're here today and life isn't what you hoped it would be. You've given your life to Christ, but you're away from Him. Things are disconnected, disjointed. You just need to get on track again. You don't want to leave this year. You don't want to go into another year with the wheels off your cart. Say, Pastor Marty, will you pray for me? Wave at me right now. Real quick, wave your hand at me. Hands all over the house. Father, today, I thank You for the power of Your Holy Spirit working in this house. I ask You, Lord, just for the next few moments, for transformation in the hearts and lives of people like they have not experienced before. In the name of Jesus, I want everybody to repeat this after me today. I want you to say it with me. Say it out loud. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm here today. Not even sure how I got here, but I'm here. And I ask You today, forgive me of my past, even the things that I may do in the future. And come into my heart. I ask You to be my Lord and my Savior. I ask You to forgive me, Lord. And I ask You to help me to do greater things for You. I'll not live for myself anymore. Come on, say that loud. I'll not live for myself anymore. But I'll live for You. Because when I've lived for me, all I've got is what I could do. But today, I'm going to live for You. And I'm going to see what You can do. Give You all, Lord. Every bit. I devote it now to You. And in Jesus' name I ask it. And everybody said amen. Woo! Praise Him right now. Come on. Praise Him right now.